Well, welcome to everyone today. It's good to see you here. If you're visiting, it's good to have you with us. My name's John. I'm the pastor here, and I look forward to talking with all of you at morning tea after the service. Well, we're going to open the Bible now and see what God has to say to us. It'd be great if you had a Bible open or a device open with the Bible on it so that you can look at the Bible as we go through together. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, give us ears to hear and minds to understand. Give us a desire to know you. Take away distractions and give us the attention we need to hear what your Bible is saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have some friends who recently returned from mission work in Thailand. They'd spent a number of years in India and Thailand reaching out to people who were seekers, people searching for meaning in their life. With the rise of Eastern religions in the West, many people before COVID would travel to India and Thailand and those places for greater meaning in their life. And so our friends set up this place where seekers could come and experience what it means to follow Jesus. They met these people where they were at in their time of need, in their time of searching. And so they'd introduce Jesus to these people as the God they were looking for. It was a great ministry that reached out to a group of people, a least reached group of people, ready to hear the good news of Jesus. So many people all around the world are seeking to know a higher power or some higher spiritual reality and are unsure where to go. And I think what their ministry really fit the bill when it came to helping these people know God. The Bible passage we're looking at today says that no one has ever seen God. So how can we know something we haven't seen? The perception is that there's a lot about God that has been veiled, that our understanding of God is limited. These seekers come to a point in their life where they take on something that just feels right. And many times they come short of finding out who God is because no one's shown them where to find God. Our missionary friends would direct these people to Jesus so that they could know God. And that's the question we want to answer today. How can I know God? How do we get to know the God that no one has seen? And today we're going to see a few ways that God has been made known. Now, the first way that we can know God is because God, the Word, has visited us. Now, I want to start today by showing you a way to read John's Gospel. If you've never read through John's Gospel on your own, I want to show you a way that you can read through the Gospel of John. And so as you read, I want you to stop every time you see the word "no." Every time you see the word "no," you need to stop. And you need to look at what's being said, because the "no" phrases that John gives us give us a truth that's so important, you need to stop and look at it. Now, we have one of these in our passage today, which is a really helpful place to start. Again, it's at the end of the passage that we read. It's in verse 18. And notice the word "no." It says in verse 18, "No one has ever seen God." No one. Moses in the Old Testament could only get a glimpse of God's back as God passed him by. God wouldn't let him see anything else because it would kill him. This means that God's out of reach. We can't see him. We can't walk up to him. He's far beyond us. And the reason for this is our sinfulness. We rejected God. We're sinful, so we can't see his face and live. Now, this creates a bit of a dilemma for us, doesn't it? Because how are we to get to know something we can't see? We need someone who has seen the object to explain it to us. But that means they must have seen it first. And we saw this in the kids' talk, didn't we? Evie had seen the object, and even though we still haven't seen it, we trust that she explained it clearly to us. We needed help to see, even though we still haven't seen. Verse 18 says, "No one has seen God, No one has been able to make him known. That is, until Jesus made him known. Jesus came from the Father's side and has made God known. This is why it's so important to stop at the no phrase in John and read carefully. Look again at verse 18. No one has ever seen God. And now it switches and it speaks of Jesus. And it says, the only God, Jesus, who is at the Father's side, has made him, that is God, known. Although no one's seen God, Jesus, who has seen God, has come to make him known. Now, this is an important truth because if we want to know God, we need to look at Jesus. This is confirmation of what it says at the very beginning of this passage in verse 1. In verse 1, John spoke about the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, let me explain something here, because in these first 18 verses of John chapter 1, Jesus is called the Word, then the Light, then true light. He's referred to as having life, and these are all ways that John refers to Jesus, who is eventually named in verse 17. And so what we see here in verse 1 is that Jesus is an eternal being. We're reminded of Genesis chapter 1 where it says, in the beginning God. We all know that phrase, don't we? Now we see in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning Jesus. Look at verse 2. It says, he was in the beginning with God. Jesus was a participant in the creation. He wasn't a part of the creation. No, he always existed and was with God from before the beginning. He's eternal. And to make it super clear, he was God. Look at the end of verse 1, where it says, and the Word was God. Which is what we saw in verse 18 too, didn't we? Jesus was so involved in the whole of creation, and John's making it abundantly clear for us. Look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now this tells us that Jesus was there at the creation, and that everything and anything that you see today was made through him. Everything. This isn't anything new in the New Testament. Colossians 1 speaks about this, where everything is made by Jesus and sustained by him. The book of Hebrews speaks of Jesus as the one who created the universe. John creates this big picture of who Jesus is, that he was God, that he was with God, and that he made all things. John speaks about Jesus and that he made all things. Oh, sorry, John speaks about Jesus as the Word who has seen God. He knows God intimately, and he's come down from his heavenly place so that you and I can know God. Look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Moses wasn't allowed to see the glory of God, but Jesus became man at his incarnation, and he dwelt among us. God, Jesus is God in human clothing. John says, we have seen his glory. See, God decided that the best way to make himself known was to come down himself, to humble himself. And he pitched his tent among us. That's the word that it uses there. Now, for those of you who know a little of the Old Testament, you'll be familiar with the language here. See, the tabernacle was the place or the tent they built when the Israelites were wandering through the desert. And this was the place where God would come down as a cloud and dwell in his tent. It was his house in the desert. And John now takes this image of a tent and says, Jesus has pitched his tent among us. God has come down among us. He is the light that has come to make things clear. Look at verse 4 and 5 with me, where it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And what all this means is that we can look to Jesus and know God. What was a shadow has become clear. We can know God as we look to Jesus. I don't know if any of you know that my sister was born legally blind. When we would watch the telly as kids, it was really annoying because she couldn't see very well. She had to sit really close to the telly. And you can imagine that we would start to yell, "Deb, move your head!" It was like watching Someone Married an Axe Murderer, if you've ever seen that. "Head, move!" Yes. Well, she had to sit so close to the telly that things were still a blur for her. She couldn't see it clearly. She could make out shapes and colours, but for the most part, it was unclear. Friends, Jesus has come among us and made God clear. When you're blind, it doesn't matter how close you sit to the telly, you're never going to see clearly. But when Jesus came to earth, he made the Father known to us. He made him crystal clear, HD, 4K, I don't know, whatever you've got at home. It's like that. It's clear. We're not blind to the things of God anymore. Look to Jesus and he will show you who God is. John's gospel is written that you may believe. And here in this section, we see that we can know God. Jesus came so that you can see the Father. If you don't know God, then look to Jesus because he is the image of the invisible God. Now, if you're unconvinced that Jesus is all these things, then let's move on to another witness. And this is our second point. See, John the Baptist was a witness to Jesus and has made him clear to us. He acts as a third party from God who's being told that Jesus will reveal God to the people. His purpose was to tell everyone that Jesus has come to make God known. Look at verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, that came to bear witness about the light. Now, the John in verse 6 is John the Baptist, not John who wrote this gospel, because actually he's never mentioned in the book. John the Baptist has one role to play for when Jesus came to earth. He came to bear witness about Jesus. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. I'll read that. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Now, it's pretty clear that John came to bear witness and testify that Jesus is the one sent from God to make God known. John says, "Don't look at me, look at Jesus." Look at verse 15, where it says, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was the one of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.'" John spoke of the eternal nature of Jesus, that even though Jesus came after John, he was before John. John was only a witness to the work that Jesus came to do. His role was to reveal to the world that Jesus came to make God known. And John points to Jesus as the light who reveals the unknown. Look at verse 9, where it says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." Jesus is the true light, and he allows everyone to see clearly who God is. And John says, "Look at him, see him," because through Jesus, God is made clear. Back in verse 5, it spoke of the strength of light in a dark place. Look at that with me, where it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light is too strong for the darkness to overcome or overpower the light. It's like when light first appeared at the creation. It takes over the darkness. See, light isn't the opposite of darkness. Rather, darkness is the absence of light. I remember when I was about 8 years old, our family moved into a rented house. And in this house, it had a room right in the middle of the house without any windows, and it was painted black, if you can believe it. Now, when you walked into that room and shut the door, you could not see a thing. We would wave our hands in front of our face and go, I can't even see my hand. Not a thing. With the absence of light, you can't see anything. But if that door was just a tiny bit open, the light would come in and the darkness would start to disappear and you could see. We're just getting into John's Gospel and we're going to see that Jesus is the light. He came into a dark world that was absent of light, absent of Jesus. And now, with the coming of light, Jesus is made known. And John the Baptist testifies that Jesus of Nazareth is the light that they've been waiting for. Later on, we'll see more comments about John by John about Jesus, testifying that he's the light that's come into the world. But for now, recognize that John the Baptist was sent from God, in verse 6, to testify about Jesus, verse 7, so that all men might believe. And this leads us nicely into the last point for today. To receive the word, or to receive Jesus, is to know God. Look at verse 12 and 13 with me. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who receive Jesus and believe in his name are given the right to become children of God. Now this is the opposite of verse 11. Look at that with me. It says in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus came amongst his own people, but they rejected him. The promise made to his covenant people Israel has been lost because they didn't receive him. But verse 12 says that if you receive Jesus, you will be called children of God. You don't have to be of royal blood to be part of this royal family. All you need is to receive Jesus and believe in him, and you will be children of God. Now this is a picture of new birth, where people like you and me are born into God's family. And what we can see in verse 13 is that heritage and race don't make you a part of the family. The desire of men don't make you a part of the family. What makes you a part of the family is new birth, receiving and believing in Jesus. It's an act of God. Look at what it says at the end of verse 13. It says, but of God. The point of verse 12 and 13 is that if you receive Jesus, you receive new birth, you'll be called a child of God. So receive Jesus and listen to the eyewitness of who God is. Friends, what we've seen here today is that we can know God. He's been made known through his Son, Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus and he will show you who God is. It's quite a good thing that we're going through John's Gospel, isn't it? Because as we continue to go through this Gospel, John shows us the Jesus we need to know. So keep your eyes open to who Jesus is and what he does. Because Jesus is our key to knowing and understanding our great God. And as we grow in our understanding of him, you need to receive him and believe in him so that you'll be accepted as God's children. This means that you'll be intimately connected with the God who created everything we see and everything we don't see. He created it all. You'll be his children. You'll be his treasured possession. You can know God. Look to the Bible to see Jesus, and you will know our great God too. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this passage. Help us to know you. Help us to look at Jesus and see that he's the one who has come to make you known. As we continue to look through the book of John, Lord, open our eyes to see you through your Son, Jesus. And it's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.